So what anxiety is a fear response. And when we were in primitive times, which is when our nervous system and brain developed, our threats were lions. So what would we do? We would either run, we would freeze, or we would fight them. And so now in more modern times, our threat is not necessarily physical, it's emotional.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. Fellow ecstatics, you know, a lot of people think that ecstatic energy is excitement and maybe even anxiety, but ecstatic energy is really very much blissful. It comes very much deep within our bodies. It's very much connected to our power and our authenticity. But that doesn't mean that we don't experience moments of anxiety, right? That doesn't mean that we don't feel sometimes those very, very heightened, almost shaky energies. It's so important that we know how to work with ourselves in shifting those energies, or better yet, why not even like stop ourselves from even arriving at that point, right? What causes those energies in our life? And that's what we're here to talk about today with our wonderful guest, Kelly Kessler. Kelly is a licensed physical therapist and a transformational coach. She helps high-achieving women who are people pleasers, perhaps, maybe, wink, wink, perfectionists. She helps them to stop burning out, overexerting themselves, putting themselves into these places that's causing them a lot of pain. And she helps them to transform the patterns, the limiting beliefs that are really running the show behind the scene so they can really create this life that they desire and really let go of the anxiety and move into the ecstatic expression, right, Kelly?
Absolutely.
So let's all welcome. Let's all welcome Kelly here with our hearts. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so looking forward to this conversation.
So yes, when we first were connecting, I was really just feeling, oh my gosh, you know, the conversation of perfectionists and people pleasing, I know for sure that that can oftentimes really lead to anxiety. But I'm going to ask you, what do you think is the root of anxiety?
Yeah, so I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak from my experience and many of the women I've worked with. The root for me and many of those women I've worked with is that dissonance between what we show the world and what we experience in our hearts. So the person we know we are and what our truth is, and the shroud that we try to contain it all in, and that perception that we want people to see of us, which the further the gap that is, the more anxiety we experience in our lives. And that was my experience. The more there was a gap between what I was showing people and what I was experiencing in my heart, the more anxiety I experienced.
Oh, wow. Yes. Because it's like having to uphold that image, right?
Absolutely. Right. Yes. It feels like you're at work all the time because you have this persona that you have to maintain, and you have people who have perceptions of you, and you're trying to never disappoint anyone in your life because they all perceive you to be this perfect, everything, they have it together, everything's fine. And meanwhile, inside there's so much inner turmoil and struggle, and you just hold that in. You hide it from everyone because you don't really want the world to see that, because it feels very vulnerable and you're still trying to figure out how you actually feel within yourself.
Do you feel like people who are in this state, are they often aware that they're kind of like living two lives or not living authentically? Do you feel like they resonate with those words?
Yeah, I think when you're in the thick of it, you don't even realize you're doing that because it's just the only thing you know. You're like, this is how I live my life. Like, it's such a fear protective mechanism that you don't even realize that this is what you're going through. And I only realized it when I was outside of it, when I was removed from doing that anymore. When I started healing, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and when I started speaking my truth, I realized how much energy I poured into keeping this persona up, keeping the show up. And it's crazy to think about, because it was almost like a release of energy. Like, oh my gosh, like when I started talking about my eating disorder and everything I experienced, I'm like, no one had even known about this. This was so secretive and it was so liberating to me. It was like that extra little piece of healing once I started expressing that, like, here I am. I'm not perfect. I have gone through things. I struggle with things. I continue to struggle with things, and it'll be an ongoing challenge in my life, just like everyone in life. We're always evolving and trying to figure out how to evolve through our challenges.
Yeah, it's so interesting how we've created this illusion that life is perfect and without challenge or without failure, when really that's the golden nugget of all of it, right? It is our challenges, it is our quote unquote failures, it is our struggles, it is all of that that really gifts us the wisdom of the experiences, right? And I know that you had an eating disorder, and you know, I mean, that's definitely a really big flag for us, right? Like, I didn't have an eating disorder. I got really, really sick. That was my flag of like, yo, you're not in your authentic truth, right? I got really, really sick, and you had your eating disorder. But as you mentioned, I think a lot of times it's hard to see when you're in it. It's like when you start getting pulling out of it and you look back and you're like, wow, I was so not in my truth. I was really hiding. I was very scared, right? Which we all are. We all are very scared to really show up as our authentic self. So are there some things that you've really connected to as you've helped women, kind of some things that they can perhaps like recognize that maybe are some of those initial flags, or maybe even to those really big flags that, hey, sweetie, you might not be living your authentic life if these flags are in your reality.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say a lot of times it's just, what are we focusing on? And so when I was in the thick of it, the total focus was on really negativity, just pouring into everything that I felt was negative about myself that I had to hide. And so my focus is all about, like, I see all these negative things about myself. I don't want the world to see that because it feels very vulnerable. And so that was the focus. But now the focus is on, okay, what are my gifts? What are the things I can serve people with? And what are the things I can do to move my life forward? How can I grow? So there's a total transition of what you focus on. And so for anyone who's going through it, if your focus is more on how all the negative things within yourself and all the things you worry about, the fear, and that's maybe the majority of it. It's not that we escape that completely in life, but if that's the majority of your energy going to that, I say there's probably some gap between what you're showing the world and what you're feeling in your heart, and give yourself some compassion in that moment. And that was the biggest wake up call for me. I had zero compassion for myself in that time. I was just like, what is wrong with me? Let me hide it. Let me show the world. Let me keep everything together and perfect and keep the train running, you know, even though I was struggling inside to do that. So for anyone who's going through that, I would absolutely just take a step back and remove the emotion for a moment and just start to look at, like, what is your focus on? You know, what is your language to yourself? How do you speak to yourself? And without any judgment, look at that, because that will really give you a big indicator of where you are in your journey. And again, do that with compassion.
That is just tremendous advice. Absolutely. And yeah, the willingness first to be really raw and authentic. Okay, what am I, how am I speaking to myself? Because how we speak to ourselves, that's one of the things I'm always talking about, is so powerful, right? Like, you are listening to you most of all of anybody, right? Like, your own thoughts of yourself, the way that you speak to yourself and about yourself is just so impactful to your being. And I just love that you pointed to that, because that is a really easy way. Like, okay, how do I speak to myself? How do I think about myself? And if you just step back, like you said, and take that moment to really see, that's a wonderful indicator. And I think that is a very clear tool that everybody can use. And definitely in my progress, I have seen where, yeah, absolutely, in that moment that I was very, very sick and in that era of my life, because it wasn't a moment.
Right. It never is just a moment. It's a long moment. It's a very long, drawn out process anytime we go through that.
Yes. Yeah, I had loads of inadequacy and just constantly beating up on myself, and the evolution to now of like, I speak to myself so much love and compassion. And not to say all the thoughts are perfect, right? Not to say that I don't have like, oh my God, what the heck are you doing in the little voice. But even in those moments, I can come back around and like, oh, I love you so much, mm-hmm. right? I'm here right. for you. I'm here for you. What was your experience with your evolution? Was, you know, from the point that you were very sick to now, and kind of some points along the way there?
Yeah, I would say just kind of going off of what you said and answering that is that what I noticed when I was in the thick of it, you know, so I experienced all the anxiety from perfectionism, people pleasing, you know, being a high achiever. And so it came out as, you know, an eating disorder, as panic attacks, as chronic back pain. But when I was experiencing in that, again, it's all rooted in my subconscious beliefs, my limiting beliefs. And so when I was experiencing that, I was stuck in a place of low energy emotion. So I was in fear, I was in shame, I was in guilt, and I lived there. Like, that was literally where I lived 99% of the time. So, you know, not to say I didn't experience some joy, but I would go right back to the baseline of those low emotions. Now I am, yes, I still experience those emotions, but I don't stay there. And that's the big evolution of it, is that the time, if you could think about it, just kind of waned. So the time that I spend in those low energy fields, I spend less time in them. So if I have something that's stressful in my life, which is inevitable, we always continue to experience things, but I'll experience it and then I pull myself out of it quicker. And so that's the beauty of it, is that it's such an empowering way to live once you realize that, like, okay, this is normal. I'm going to experience some grief. I'm going to experience guilt, shame, fear. But as long as I don't stay there and live there, then I'm going to be okay. And then you elevate your baseline to just more of a sense of peace. You know, you're not in this ecstasy, joy all the time. You're also not in fear all the time. You're kind of in that middle ground, but now you have a healthier wave of moving in and out of those places. And that has been the biggest eye opener of my journey, recognizing that I no longer have to live in those low energy states.
Yes. And I love how you pointed to the physical attributes, right? The way that these things show up physically, because, okay, eating disorder, yeah, go after what you're eating, or go after diets, and go after, like, that's, you know, again, like almost like going after the symptom, and like back pain, okay, go after like the body and the back. And but all of it is so much deeper than that. And all of it is energy. And when we really get down to the root of it, and we can really find some really powerful, you know, as you say and speak to, these limiting beliefs, these structures that we have that are causing these symptoms, right? And that's why they don't get resolved. They don't get resolved with stretching or exercises for your back. They don't get resolved with changing your, I don't even know what they would say for the eating disorder, but whatever it is, that it's this external stimulus, this external source, when it's all deeply rooted in the heart.
Yes, absolutely. And my professional training, I'm a physical therapist. So I went about trying to heal my own back pain from those things externally. You know, I did the strengthening, stretching. My husband's a physical therapist. I did all the things. And it's like, I would get short-term relief, but never experience long-term, because I didn't dive deep into the effects of my nervous system. And literally, that was the game changer. Once I dove into the impacts of those limiting beliefs and what it had on my nervous system, everything changed from there.
Yeah, it's so important to understand the body. I mean, even now, like last couple of days, I've been working with my lower back, ironically, that we're speaking to this, because I have an energy that's shifting in my sacral chakra. And it's just really like, it wasn't, the back pain wasn't there, the discomfort, and like, okay, all right, ooh, I'm feeling back pain. What is this? And the, you know, the journey into that. I was actually a physical therapist for horses. And I experienced the same thing. You know, a lot of the owners weren't super conscious, and I could communicate with the horses, and they would tell me all of these things. And And the owners just want you to fix the body. And I'm like, well, it's not just the body. You know, they're having issues with their neighbor friend horse, you know, or they're anxious about this, or they're, you know, and some owners I could talk to them and have them take those extra steps to help the horse. And some of them just wanted me to just fix the body. But it was one of the places I first learned about the emotional baggage and the emotional implication that all of that can really have on our body, the emotional effect. You know, anxiety is one of those things, you know, you're speaking to the nervous system, right? And I'm a big proponent of the nervous system as well. And, you know, anxiety in the nervous system just feels almost like hot wires, right? What is your experience with anxiety and the nervous system specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. So what anxiety is a fear response. There's something that we're perceiving to be a threat. And when we were in primitive times, which is when our nervous system and brain developed, our threats were lions. They were physical threats. So what would we do? We would either run, we would freeze, or we would fight them. And so our body would tense, our muscles would tense, fascia would change its properties. We would get this high alertness. We would be, our breathing rate would increase, our heart rate increase. And so now in more modern times, our threat is not necessarily physical, it's emotional. It's someone compromising our integrity our identity, you know, someone who's penetrating our boundaries, or it's someone who's constantly bombarding us with negativity or whatever it is. And now we perceive that again to be a threat. So when we experience these anxieties where maybe we want our life to be one way and we're experiencing something different, or we're trying to keep up this image that we show the world and it's not authentic to ourselves, our body responds in a way as if it were an actual threat. So that's why we experience muscle tension. That's why we experience shallow and increased heart breathing. And we increase heart rate. We experience all these things that happen in our body because, again, it starts with a thought. We attach an emotion to it. And now our body learns these patterns and it actually gets embedded in the body. So we become what we experience intellectually, cognitively, and emotionally.
Yes, and embedded in the body. That's so important because sometimes we think they have to be really drastic circumstances, or, you know, why am I having this feeling or this sensation in my body? But when that programming is there, it can be the subtlest little trigger that has a similar representation, right, of what's embodied, of the program that's embodied in our body that could just, they can just trigger it, right? And so, you know, when you speak to people pleasing and perfectionist, to me, this really feels like that can absolutely have this correlation with anxiety as well, and what you're speaking to about identity. Can you talk a little bit more about people pleasing and perfectionism and how perhaps that can show itself as anxiety?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is something I have struggled with for years. I was that people pleaser where everybody else's needs mattered much more than mine. I could never say no to people. I never wanted to disappoint people. I never wanted to feel like I wasn't showing up for everybody 100% of the time. And so what happened is that I prioritized everybody beyond myself, and then my self-care lacked. I didn't honor my needs because I was honoring everybody else's needs. And so when that happens, there becomes this anxiety where, like, your system recognizes that you have these innate needs. And when you constantly cover them up and push them down, it speaks louder, it yells louder, and it shows up as anxiety. And so that's a huge part of why people pleasing, we experience this anxiety, and then it manifests into more physical symptoms. And as far as perfectionism, there's this mindset that no matter what you do, it's never good enough and you're never good enough. And so you keep grinding, you keep doing everything that that society tells you should do, is that you keep on showing up, doing more and more and more, and it just never hits. It never feels the way that you thought it would feel. And you are, again, criticize yourself. You compare yourself to others. You feel like you're insufficient all the time. And so feeling like that, that you're never enough, again, puts you in that defensive mode and that protection mode. Like, no matter what I do, you are lower than everybody else. You're lower than your expectations for yourself. And so again, the anxiety arises. And instead of honoring it, showing yourself compassion, maybe giving yourself a little extra time to show yourself self-care, most perfectionists, and myself included, you push it down and you grind harder. You ignore it. You completely ignore it. And then same thing, Anxiety will yell louder. It doesn't like to be shut up. So it yells louder, speaks louder. It shows up in more and more ways. And for me, again, it was the eating disorder, chronic pain, the panic attacks. It kept yelling. And I just was not listening for all that time.
Yeah, I can definitely. I also experienced, you know, the comparing myself to other people. Of course, all behind the scenes, right? Like I wouldn't let know that that's what I was doing. But in my mind, it was just constant comparison. It was like I was always seeking for the validation that I wasn't enough. Because I'd be like, see that person, see what they're doing, see that person. And so it wasn't even comparing myself to circumstances that would have been like, oh, look, like I'm doing well. It was always in the other way. You know, it was always seeking the validation that I wasn't enough. I wasn't, you know, I was inadequate. That's one of my energies that I work very closely with, is the feeling and the belief of inadequacy. What do you think is the difference? Because there is a difference between perfectionism, and you kind of alluded to it, but I want to clarify it. Between perfectionism and like striving to improve and to expand and to grow yourself from a healthy, aligned, empowered state?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I'll start with growing in a healthy, aligned, empowering state. So when you do that, of course, I believe our whole purpose on life is to grow and evolve and become an elevated version of ourselves. That's our entire purpose here. So working hard, taking action is part of that process. And having a high achieving attitude is also really good because it pushes you to go harder and to evolve quicker. So I do believe that's all great. The difference between that in a healthy way and a perfectionist attitude is that you can recognize successes when you're doing it in a healthy way. As a perfectionist, you don't recognize successes. You don't build in celebrations for yourself. You use the negative energy to drive you, versus when you are doing it in a healthy way, you can recognize what you're doing well and use those positive experiences, celebrate your successes, use those positive things to drive you. You use that mindset of abundance to drive you, the connection that you develop with people to drive you, your growth to drive you. Perfectionists, it's all about you're not good enough, so you're going to have to do more. You're not thin enough, you got to do more. It's all those negative driving factors. So even though sometimes the behavior looks very similar, the driving factors is what is the difference. You're driving more in a negative energy when you are as a perfectionist versus when you are a healthy, high achiever, you're driving in a positive energy.
Yes, 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 yes. And kind of similar, just to be really clear, again, what would you say to help people differentiate? How would you help them to really honestly ask themselves, which one are they in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about the introspection. So asking yourself the right questions, like, why am I doing this? So why, if you're working 8, 10, 12 hours a day, why am I doing this? Is it because I know I'm destined for greatness? Maybe that's a healthy mindset. I'm destined for greatness and I'm going after it. I know it's meant for me. Versus, why am I doing this? Because nothing I've done to this point is good enough. So obviously I have to work harder and do more. There's a very different mentality and feeling you get in both of those. So if you are recognizing and asking yourself those questions, what's the intent behind this? And you can answer it in a more positive, uplifting, you feel it. Even just in your heart, you're going to feel it. You're going to be like, I know my life is meant for more. And that's the driving force versus I am no good. That's why I'm doing this. Big difference there.
Yes, I love the why. And literally, that was the question I had in my head. I feel like we had a little telepathic moment there.
Yes, we're connected.
We're connected. We're on the same plane. And and that feeling, like you said, because a feeling like, oh, I just have to keep going because I'm just not good enough. It has this tension to it. It's this contraction, right? It doesn't feel good. Versus, I am destined for greatness, not from an egoic way, but that feeling, it's very, very expansive, right? Like, oh my gosh, yes, yes, yes. Like, give me more. Let's go. I'm so excited. I'm so ecstatic. Like, I want to ride the wave of my own potential, right? There's two radical feelings. I love how you bring it back to the feeling state, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's absolutely it. And that was such a big thing for me because I feel like I was so cognitively driven. I was just like, what is the right thing to do? So I was always like, what does society tell me to do? Versus like, it took me training and I'm still working on that, tapping into like, what does my heart tell me? What does this tell me? And using a little bit more of that intuitive sense to guide me. And it's still a work in progress because I think I shut that off for so long that I didn't even listen to that. But if you can start to tap into that, I found that's just been one of the most beneficial things, is to have that guidance that like, you might not have the answer to everything and that's okay, but you still have to just keep following what you believe is what you're destined for.
Absolutely. And again, with the conversation of anxiety, angst, tension, any of that, like I've sometimes had this feeling where it's very, very mental, you know, and it's like, I got to do something right now. Something has to happen right now. And it has that angst. Like I wouldn't call it anxiety, but it's definitely angst, right? Those are all those where our body's trying to communicate to us like, whoa, yo, breathe, slow down. Let's just stop for a moment, right? But because we've been so taught to think and look outside and what is everything else going on out here, we often aren't tuning into those cues. So I just wanted to really point that out to the audience that, yeah, if you're in a regular state of angst or anxiety, those are big cues from your body. Kind of like you've been saying, Kelly, that you're not in that authentic self, right?
Absolutely. So, and it's all about, I'm sorry. I would say it's about trusting yourself too, because when you're always listening to your head, it's teaching you that you can't actually trust yourself. It's teaching you that you have to look outside yourself for answers. And when you start to transition into looking within yourself, you recognize that like, no, I have the answers. And I always use the analogy of Wizard of Oz and Dorothy. Like she had the ruby slippers all along. She wanted to get home and she had the power. She didn't know she had the power. And it was only when someone showed her that you had the power alone that she could bring herself home. And that's all of us. We all have this power. We just are going through life on autopilot. We don't even realize that we have this power. And that's the most beautiful thing when you know how to use it and you can start cultivating it for good in your life.
I love that. I love the red ruby slippers because they were on her feet the whole time, weren't they?
Exactly. Yes.
Click her heels together. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I love how you speak about trust, because it's absolutely, we have not been taught to trust our intuition. We have not been taught to listen to ourselves. We've been taught to listen to science experts, you know, those with credentials, yada, 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 when all of our information is available to us. And really the information that's most aligned with our self, right? And our unique path and our unique journey and what really works for us. So yes, yes, yes to trust. I'm so grateful you brought that in. We've been talking about the anxiety and the people pleasing and all of that. And I'm just trying to help the audience really like connect to those signals and those flags. And now let's kind of flip it over, right? Like to the authentic version of ourself, you know, what mirror can you hold up of what that feels like, how that shows up, so that maybe, again, that's another way for somebody to see themselves.
Yeah. So I can say when you have that perfectionist mindset, and it's very dichotomous. There's good and there's bad, and that's it. There's no gray line. So what I've found that now I've tapped into more of my authentic self, that there really is no good and bad. It's just all pieces of you. And that's really the big thing, is like, okay, you know what? I still deal with some anxiety. Okay. That's just part of me. It's not who I am. It's just part of me. It's almost like you can step outside yourself and be like, okay, this exists in my life. It's not who I am. And so you almost remove yourself from the things that are challenging to you or some of the struggles. And so you can do that in a more clear way. If you asked me 10 years ago to do that, I'd be like, no, this is like, I'm an anxious, I have anxiety. Like I'm dealing with all these things. I couldn't remove myself to realize that that's not actually who I am. And so I found that when you become more your authentic self, like you have this compassion that you recognize that you're a whole being, even if you get sad, even if you're having hard days, even if you struggle with things and you feel like, you know, you get those days that you go back to some of those tendencies that you had, like it's not who you are. It's just something that you can use as information. And that's really the big thing, is like transitioning from what's wrong with me to what is this telling me and how can I use this to move my life forward?
Yes, absolutely. Because we all have our issues, don't we? I mean, like, I don't feel, I obviously get anxious. Everybody gets anxious. I don't feel like I've been an anxious person, but I have other issues. You know, sometimes I just want a hermit and like almost like self-implode into myself. And so that's been more the part of me that I've had to work with and cultivate and understand that my protective nature is to actually shut down and shut and go numb and shut down versus other people go out, right? And so we all have our own unique ways. And I love that, yeah, that doesn't mean that that's who I am, right? It's just a way that I have taken on and learned to function and protect myself and cope, right? A lot of it is coping mechanisms that we've learned that isn't really anchored in our power and our truth and really what you're helping women to do, right? You're really helping them to really release even coping mechanisms, right? And really drop down into their authentic expression, their authentic truth. Can you speak a little bit more to what lights you up when you work with women? You know, what are those things that you're just like, oh my gosh, that's incredible when you watch them shift or whatever that is to you. What is it that lights you up when you're working with your clients?
Yeah, so many of my clients I work with are in a place where they have been experiencing this for so long that they don't really have a whole lot of hope that things would ever change. And they use maladaptive coping mechanisms. So particularly many women I've worked with use excessive exercise or just staying busy or overextending themselves as a way to just numb themselves out and kind of avoid dealing with their emotions. So what lights me up is like when I start seeing these shifts, when they start seeing them prioritize themselves and being making these non-negotiables. So recognizing that like, no, everybody can wait until I'm taken care of, recognizing that they are worth it. They have the power within themselves to help themselves. And when I start seeing that transition, hearing my clients say like, I bookended my day. And like, that's a big thing for me, like start your day out for yourself and end your day for yourself. And when I start seeing them implementing these things and not only just implementing it, but being like, I feel better. Like I want to do this. It's not a willpower thing. Like I actually want to do this. Like that's what lights me up because you can see that their brain is actually rewiring. They're getting the evidence. Their system is recognizing that their old ways no longer serve them and that they want to transition into this new being. And that's the game changer because they're never going to want to go back to who they were. And that's it. Then you know that person is going to be on the path of healing.
I love how you say where they really want to do it, right? It doesn't just, it's just not, it may start off as another thing on their list, right? Let's be real. Like initially, sometimes it can be, okay, I have to do this. Now I got to take care of myself along with all the other things I got to do. But I love how you say when it shifts into, oh, I yearn. Right? For this time for myself, to love on myself, to give myself that time. I could really feel that shift that they go through with your clients. That's, yeah, so beautiful. So incredibly beautiful. So how can people find you, reach you? What are your big social media platforms, etc.?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube under Dr. Kelly Kessler. And then you can also find me at my website. It's OptimalU, YOU, healthandwellness.com.
And you have a podcast as well, don't you?
I do. Yeah. It's called Rewiring Health. So it dives deep into perfectionism, people pleasing, and how to heal through nervous system regulation and subconscious mind reprogramming.
Perfect. I use the word rewired too, so that's great.
Yeah, I love it. That's it. The brain is always capable of rewiring. So again, for anyone who's listening, if you've been dealing with things for 10, 20, 30 years, don't ever think that it's not possible to change your life. It is always possible. So give yourself that piece of hope that the brain is adaptable, flexible, and plastic. And that's really what it is. It is rewiring every single day. So as long as you apply the right stimulus, you can actually transform your life.
And if you have people like Kelly to support you, right? Because it's huge having somebody in your court, you know, having somebody that's reminding you, supporting you, just telling you, you can do this. Like, I know you can. I have seen other women in your exact circumstance totally transform, you know, that experience, that wisdom, having somebody like you helping them is so much more powerful and impactful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's hard to do things alone. You need that sense of clarity, community, and accountability to really make a big life change. So I hired a coach for myself for many things. So it's like we all are helping each other get to the next level. It's like we're best served to serve the past version of ourselves. So best suited to serve the past version of ourselves. So it's use the people that have been there. They will pull you along much quicker than you trying to figure it out on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big opponent of using mentors, using coaches, especially when we're going through the work, we can hit these points and they're very pivotal and they're very triggered, right? Because they're points where our natural self wants to go back or, you know, go back into the patterns, go back into the comfort. Mm-hmm. And it's those moments, and they're very highly charged, where having somebody say, no, remember, or hey, do this, just in that moment, wow, can just catapult mm-hmm. you, rubber band you. I get this image of like shooting a rubber band, mm-hmm. right? That next really solid rewiring, that next setting of that pattern, and really establishing that very strongly in your body. Because in that pivotal moment, you receive that guidance or that support.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's actually the way our brains are wired. When we are in a stress response, we go to what is most familiar. So you will automatically go to your old patterns. So unless you have someone to, again, like you said, to pull you through some of those hard times, you're going to keep reverting back to what's familiar, because the brain likes efficiency, familiarity, it likes comfort, even if it doesn't serve us. So it's allowing your brain to experience a new baseline. And that's what it's all about.
Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful. I love it so much. Ah, well, let's move into the bodies with our activation at this point in time. So I always say that you're listening to this and you're driving your car, just, you know, keep your eyes open, but you can always come back to this at a different time. And you can always just come back to it anyways, because you can always experience it more than once. And there's nothing that you need to feel during this experience. Remember, there is no perfectionism, right? Whatever you feel is absolutely perfect here now. Okay, so let's close our eyes and let's just start by taking some nice deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth, really opening your jaw in a relaxed manner, and just exhaling, sighing. Sighing has such a powerful psychological symbolism to ourselves. When we sigh, we're telling our bodies, we're telling our being to let go, to relax, really feeling that, feeling that sigh, feeling that exhalation, feeling that letting go. And now we're just going to be breathing into our bodies and breathing all the way down to our bellies, down into your diaphragm. As you're inhaling now, your belly is coming out ever so slightly, and then you're exhaling out of that open mouth. Inhaling down into that belly, exhaling out of that open mouth, and just noticing conscious breath like this can already help our bodies to relax. Conscious breath like this can already start to communicate with our nervous system, with all of our emotional body, our mental body. Telling our body to let go, telling our body to relax, and just keeping your awareness at your diaphragm, at your solar plexus. Keep breathing into that energy. And we're going to be calling in right now a golden yellow light. So with each inhalation, just know that you are breathing now a golden light, and it's coming into your body, coming into your nervous system. And it's bringing this healing energy, bringing in this healing light into your body. And with each exhalation, you're releasing more tension out of your body, releasing more angst out of your body, releasing more anxiety out of your body. So really breathe that golden light into your body. Give it to your body. Give it to yourself right here, right now. And exhale, letting go of perfectionism. Ah, letting go of people pleasing. Ah, letting go of all this false identity, whether you're aware of it or not. Breathing in that golden light, breathing in your power, breathing in your authenticity, and just setting the intention to let go, exhale, release these parts of you that are creating false selves, that are creating masks, that are trying to hold up an identity that no longer serves you. Yes, and keep breathing into your body like this. I'm going to bring in some sound and just keep focusing right there on your solar plexus. Keep focusing on breathing in that golden light. Ooh, and just allow the sound to come in through your ears. Ooh, yeah. Saying out loud yourself as you exhale, I let go. Oh, I let go. I let go. I let go of perfectionism. Saying it out loud, breathing in the golden light. I let go. I let go of perfectionism. Breathe in the golden light. Breathe it in. Breathe it into your body. I let go of people pleasing. I let go. I let go of people pleasing. Yes, beautiful. Ah, and breathing in some more, noticing how you're already relaxing more, noticing how your body is already shifting. There's already more availability to the sensations in your body, noticing how you're already noticing and feeling your body more here now, and dropping your awareness down to what you're sitting on or down into your pelvis, just dropping your awareness down there, taking some nice deep breaths all the way down into your pelvis. This is the seat of your power. This is the seat of your power. This is the seat of your authenticity. This is the seat of your Shakti, of your creativity, of your playfulness, of all of the beauty that wants to transpire and move through you. And just breathing with your awareness there as you're noticing it. And we're making the proclamation here right now, making the proclamation, decreeing, declaring that you are connecting down more into the fullness of you, connecting with each inhalation. You are connecting now more into the fullness of you, the fullness of you, all of your beauty, all of your different expressions, all of your different emotions and sensations, using your intention, giving yourself permission. Yes, yes, yes. Yes to your fullness. Yes to your power, your unique power, your unique genius. Taking a couple of more deep breaths here. I'm just going to bring in a little bit more sound. Continuing to release through that exhale. Continue to let go. You don't have to know what you're letting go of. Just let go through the exhalation. Breathe down into that pelvis. Breathe down into your power. Ooh, yeah, la, la, ooh, 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 yeah, ooh. Nice deep breath, remembering that you can change, remembering that you can change, remembering what a flexible and malleable individual you are, and that you have the power. You have the power within yourself. You have the ruby red slippers. Yes, yes, yes. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Taking a nice deep breath, just rubbing your body, opening your eyes, kind of bringing yourself back to this moment. It can be really helpful. Just rub your legs, rub your body. Notice what you're sitting on. Notice that gravitational pull, kind of just bringing yourself back into this moment with your ruby red slippers that are now on your feet.
Absolutely.
Kelly, I love that so much. It's such a great imagery.
Thank you.
And Kelly, thank you so much for being here today. And thank you for bringing such clarity and wisdom into the space for women to connect to and to see themselves. I really felt like today you held up a really powerful mirror so that they can see themselves with compassion, with love, where they truly are, so that they can make those changes.
Thank you so much for having me on. I truly enjoyed this conversation, and I really hope it resonates with your audience.
Yay. And fellow ecstatics, absolutely reach out to Kelly. Check her out. Check out her podcast. Check out her spaces where you can learn a little bit more and have more wisdom and reflections. And remember to share this episode with, maybe you know some people pleasers, right? Maybe you know some perfectionists, and maybe you think they really could use that mirror. Sometimes it's best when it doesn't come from us personally, right? So, you know, you can show them a little egging on, a little wink, wink by sending them this episode. Make sure that you are reviewing and subscribing to this podcast so you can get all the future episodes. And I will see you next time on the Ecstatic Woman Podcast.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.